गुरुदेवमेश्वर गुरु साक्षात् परब्रह्म तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः ज्ञानमूलं गुरुर्मूर्तिः पूजामूलं गुरुपदं मन्त्रमूलं गुरुर्वाक्यं मोक्षमूलं गुरुकृपा ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्वि नावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति
Who's talking about coincidences? This is another coincidence. Huh? The same mantras which are used for japas, for repeating, can also be sung aloud, chanted aloud, and then it becomes kirtan. We were discussing the mantra, japa, this morning. The japa itself can be done in two or three ways. One is to say it aloud, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya. Or lisp it. And then, or say it mentally. Or sing it. There are three forms of japa and one, this is known as kirtan. And kirtan, not kirtan.
Thank you, right? Make it chop.
Tikit japa also, that's very, it's not very, it's not a terribly popular pastime.
And is it devoted?
Hmm?
And is it extremely devoted? Maybe?
No, no, I'd say it was a, at one time, during the, yeah, that's just before the war, I think there was no shortage of paper things like that. And they did that on a very, I don't know if you, if what we are talking makes any sense to you. Another form of utilizing the mantra was to write it. Get hold of a notebook and I think it's there, one page of it. You write it on a piece of paper, in a notebook, so that almost becomes a meditation if done properly. In the 30s and 40s, it used to be, you see, I think they omitted even from here. Yeah, it's here. In the 30s and 40s, there were some mantras which were specially prescribed for that. One was Sri Ram Jayam. There was another Sri Ram Jayaram Jayaram. And for a set period of time, every day, you write the mantra. In that notebook, half an hour, 1 hour.
With your right hand?
Hmm? With the right hand, left hand, with your left hand. Yeah. With the right hand, that is the hand with which you can write.
Because I have to learn what is happening.
So, and that was considered an additional aid. So that you're busy, you're active, dynamic, so that you don't fall asleep, and the whole attention is powerfully focused on writing. Swami Shivananda also used to encourage his disciples to do that, and they used to send volumes of Likit Japa notebooks, and used to offer them to the Ganges. Then there was Swami Ramdas. Who was talking about Swami Ramdas? Somebody knew him. They have all, he also encouraged this Likit Japa, Sri Ram Jayaram Jayaram. And they have received notebooks with mantra written about 3 million times or 30 million times or so. 13 million times or so. And all that has been sort of put in the vault in the ashram, in the Ananda ashram. So some others also used to encourage this, Likit Japa. And then, instead of merely writing on a piece of paper, in a notebook, some of them also used to do this. Pass it on, please. Look at it. You've seen it?
I've seen it.
Yeah. The left side. writing it to a pattern, building up a pattern with the mantra. Yeah, they have written Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya everywhere and built a Shivalingam with it. That was considered a good thing. And then the another, but this is still very popular, singing. And they sing, those who sing, they usually sing with some musical accompaniments and definitely some kind of this thing, some kind of symbols. Whether they are wooden clappers, that kind of thing, and the same thing. This is called a more of those things. And the symbols, this one, or any other musical instrument, tabalas and so on. The more, the less merry. Because the attention goes away to the musical instruments rather than to the kirtan being sung. But this is quite popular. This makes you jump up and down. Clapping is also considered a very auspicious and important thing, important accompaniment to this kirtan. Though Swami Shivananda discouraged it in the beginning he didn't like it at all. He didn't allow any musical instrument into the kirtan, just as we are doing now, not even the harmonium. Very quiet. It was only when Swami Narada Brahmananda appeared on the scene, he said, all right, we want to have. And the first harmonium that Narada Brahmananda Swami used was quite an audible one. You can hear it in the volume 2, Shivananda Ashram sound volume 2. You hear more wooden sound.
Keys.
More than the note, you hear the key. The key rattling. Like a tick-tock. And that was the harmonium that he first had. And later it was much later that he got a very sophisticated equipment. Which wouldn't even make it. I think that's either what he is carrying around or its successor. First he wouldn't even allow that, but then later all these were introduced and accepted. But then there was one great master, Ramakrishna, who encouraged clapping and even dancing to it. That is from the Hare Krishna movement tradition, right? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tradition, that you should not sit singing, you should not sing sitting like this. Hare Rama, that was Swami Shivananda's fashion, yes? Hare Rama, Hare Rama. He used to say, when you sing, you must almost be ever ready to fall into meditation, enter into meditation. That must be the mood. Not jumping up and down. But this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cult, the Hare Krishna cult, they said, no, you mustn't even be sitting. Standing, holding your arms up, clapping, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Different methods, different attitudes. That was popularized by him. And continued in his tradition. And they also have a very beautiful what they call khol. It is not tabla, it is not mridangam. It is not the South Indian variety. It is not the other, the tabla variety, the two ones. They have a something like a drum with a fairly narrow end, one side. And so it gives a metallic sound. They call khol. Very delightful. If someone also knows how to play it, plays, it's very delightful, very good. Ramakrishna Paramahamsa encouraged that and added a reasoning and a simile. If you are sitting under a tree and you find that there are so many birds and little birds and so on the tree, and if you do this, all of them fly away. And in the same way, he says, if you find that your mind is crowded with all sorts of thoughts and emotions and feelings and so on, Hare Rama! When you shout, yeah, right, same thing. When you shout and clap your hands and sing, all those thoughts fly away. That's called kirtan. Swami Shivananda himself is very, very fond of this. He, his mission after he settled down in Rishikesh really started with kirtan, singing. And in one letter he had written to one of his disciples, Paramananda, he had said that atheism and all that sort of thing, irreligion, can be completely wiped out if we popularize this. And even long afterwards, he was still fond of that. He was still hoping that we should form a small group of kirtan singers, they who can chant a little, sing a little, and occasionally talk a little bit, and take this small group, put them in a van or something, take them round, non-stop tour. He says, you can come change the whole world by the, by this. That was his hope. And so he used to organize these Sankirtan conferences. Then they wanted to, you know how things start. Then they wanted that these Sankirtan conferences needed some kind of an organization, some kind of a an address book, mailing list, something, you know, it needed money to put up a tent, and that money had to be collected. The money had to be collected. That means I had to know whom to approach, whom to ask for the money. And then when money is collected, the accounts had to be maintained. And if it is not registered as a non-profit organization, the person who collects the money gets into trouble. So, one after the other, they invented a thing called organization. And the, and the moment the organization came in, they had to have a notepaper printed. And in that, there was need for mentioning who is the president and who is the secretary. And the whole, the hornet's nest had just been tapped, not too much. And then he gave it up. Said, no. This also leads to the same trouble. He said, I thought, and then he even suggested something else. We call it president will always be Haridas. But even that didn't solve the problem. The president is always Haridas, and the secretary is always Ramdas. Some pseudonym. That is, all the time it will be Haridas and Ramdas. Alright? This year he is Haridas, and I am Ramdas. So we become anonymities, as it were, not in truth. And so instead of fighting for the presidentship, next time I am fighting to become Haridas. There's something wrong with my heart. That must be changed, no? Not in the name, not in the title. Staying there. Wherever you go, we are trapped. Whichever way you turn, somewhere there is a trap. And you want to do something good, somehow or other it... every individual step seems to be good. But cumulatively, it leads you somewhere else. Mm. I don't know if I told you the story to you or the previous batch, where I think we had it in the dining hall. There is a monk, a Swami, a tremendous ascetic. I don't think you know the story. Swami may not have told you. He was an ascetic, terrible ascetic, and he didn't own anything. No money, nothing, not even a bed, no. He had his begging bowl and a loincloth. A loincloth is just a piece of plain cloth. And he had two pieces. One he wore, you have seen Ramana Maharishi's pictures? Mm-hmm. Right. That is the cloth that he wears, his loincloth. Yeah. And he had two pieces. One he wore and one was on the line, drying. And this is also near a river, that is where the ashrams usually are built in India. And when, during the monsoon season, when the rains come, all the rats come away from the holes, so they wander around. It so happened that the one rat took a fancy for the loincloth. And every night it will nibble a few holes away from him. So the next morning, the poor man, he had his bath and came, looked. The loincloth was not there. It's not a serious thing. It's only a small piece of cloth. You could cut about 30 or 40 loincloths. And so he went to a friend. He said, "Can you give me a small piece of cloth for my use?" And he said, "He what? Take it." He took it. And then once again, two or three days later, once again he goes there and asks for a piece of cloth. And then the friend began to inquire, "What's wrong with you? Why do you want this loincloth every few days?" And then he said, "You know, it's rainy season and therefore I think there are a few rats roaming around and they nibble at the loincloth and it's spoiled. It gets spoiled every few days." "Ah, what a silly thing. I'll give you a cat. Take it and tie it to him in a corner of your room. The rats will never come anywhere near. Is there anything wrong in it?" "No? Nothing wrong in a Swami keeping a cat in the..." Right. So he took the cat, kept it in the room and no rat came. "Ah, this is marvelous. I don't have to go begging for loincloth anymore." But then the cat became... the rats are also not there. What does the cat eat? Rats are not there. So, milk. Yeah. So, he said, "All right, now I have to feed the cat with a little, at least a cup of milk every day." But that is no problem, because he had a few devotees around. And so when he went begging for his food, he also took a small glass and he said, "Will you give me some milk?" She gave up for a few days. "Is it for you?" He said, "No, I don't drink milk." "What do you want milk then?" "Well, I have a cat." "Why go on begging for milk for the cat every day, my dear?" "I'll give you a cow. I will drink it. Show me how many cows I have in my cow shed. I'll give you a cow and I'll put up a small shed for it outside your cottage. And you milk the cow and give it to the cat. You can also have some milk. It's good milk, fresh milk. And the rats won't come either." That is a good idea. It's nothing serious. And so he took the cow. There is a cat, and there is a cow. And the cow had to be looked after. Somebody had to take it for grazing and then milk it and so on.
I think we should run away before he gets any more.
So you know the story?
One
it's
similar
some,
to it.
Yeah. Some must have told you. It's a great problem. Then, he took it out for grazing. But then who's going to milk it? All that the donor said, I'll ask my servant maid to come and, she does all the work in my yard. She would come and look after this cow also, it's no problem. One day she came, evening, milking the cow. And she milked the cow. As she was milking the cow, it started pouring, thunder, lightning. And she was waiting outside this holy man's hut. It became dark. And he said, are you going to go home? It's dark. Well, what must I do? She said. He said, doesn't matter, you just sleep in one corner of this room, it's all right. That's it. So he said, I wanted to protect my loin cloth and I ended up like this.
What is
Gayatri Japa? mantra. You know the definition of mantra was manana trayate. That is, trayate is to protect mananat by mentally, by contemplating it. And Gayatri also has the same root. Gayantam trayate. It protects one who sings it, one who repeats it. Right? This is one meaning. A mantra, a specific mantra, which protects the one who repeats it. Right. And then it was extended to, or extended and narrowed down, to refer to one mantra. Tat savitur varenyam bargo devasya dhimahi dhiyo yona prachodayat. This is considered the Gayatri, T-H-E in capitals. The Gayatri. If you go to someplace in India and say, what is the Gayatri mantra? You will say, Om bhur bhosvaha tat savitur varenyam bargo devasya dhimahi dhiyo yona prachodayat. Then the meaning was extended to cover the meter in which this verse, this mantra is composed. Tat savitur varenyam bargo devasya dhimahi dhiyo yona prachodayat. It's a rather strange meter.
You mean by tune meter? Is that what you're saying? Rhythm or rhythm?
Tat savitur varenyam bargo devasya dhimahi. Dhiyo yona prachodayat. So it has got only three quarters. What they call three parts, 3 feet. Whereas, for instance, Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Devo Maheshwara, Guru Sakshat Parabrahma, Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Right? There are four there. But in the Gayatri meter,
where is it broken each time? What is the first?
Let's say 8 syllables each. This is 8 syllables. This is 8 syllables. And that is 8 syllables. Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Devo Maheshwara, Guru Sakshat Parabrahma, Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. And the whole of the Bhagavad Gita is composed in this meter.
Are those 8 syllables too?
32.
Four times eight is 32. Is there a name for that meter?
Anushtup. Anushtup. This is Anushtup, and this meter itself is called Gayatri. And therefore you will find a number of Gayatris there. Brahma Gayatri, Ganesha Gayatri, Subramanya Gayatri, Shiva Gayatri, Tat Savitur, Tat Purushayutmehe Mahadevayadimihi, Tanno Rudra Prachodayat. This is the Gayatri for Shiva. Mahadevye Javitmehe Vishnu Bhatnyajadimihi, Tanno Lakshmi Prachodayat. All these three. 24 syllables. No, you shouldn't count the letters in
English, but it's the syllables, the sounds.
The sound.
So that doesn't matter whether it's English or not. I mean, it's the same. Does it? I mean, the syllables are the syllables.
Syllables are syllables. But what is a syllable? Guru Brahma, Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu.
Yeah. Would you do it with the Gayatri that slowly? Would you do it that slowly with the Gayatri? Like you were doing it that slowly? You were doing it so fast.
Tat sa vitur varenyam. Varenyam bhargo devasya dhimahi diyo yo na prachodayat. 3-8. Tat sa vitur varenyam.
The bur buva sa.
Bur buva sa doesn't go into it. No, it's an addition, sort of.
It doesn't
even have om in that way, no?
Right. This outer explanation of the Gayatri is one thing, but then the inner explanation, it should bring you to something.
That's it. Gayantam trayate. When I repeat it, it must save me. Will it save me when I repeat it mechanically?
With the right attitude, Baba.
With the right attitude, and I must... another important feature about the mantras is the right attitude is one thing. Another one is the contemplation of the meaning. Yes? Contemplation of the meaning. What is the meaning?
Of the Gayatri? Yeah. May that one that enlightens all things enlighten me also.
And that is the translation. What is the meaning?
What is the meaning of the Gayatri?
No.
The meaning?
What is the meaning? May that one which illumines all enlighten me.
Yes.
Good. That is the translation. But what is the meaning?
God, the meaning. God, the essence of life, consciousness.
Consciousness is a word. What is the meaning?
The consciousness? God.
God is a word. What is the meaning?
What is the meaning? You have to have said that to know the meaning. And it's an experience probably within oneself.
The experience is a word. But what is the truth? What is the reality?
Brahman
is a word. What is the reality?
Experience being.
Yeah, are two words. But what is the reality that they denote? That is right? Meaning is not translation. Contemplating the meaning of a mantra does not mean merely translating it in your own mind, not paraphrasing it, not substituting it one for one word for many words and many words for one word, but here is a word, what is the truth? So, if you pursue that inquiry, then the mantra will free you, liberate you. If you go on repeating like Om Bhagavato Tatravirenmako Devasya Dhyayana Prajodhyat. When I was young, I was told that unless you do this Gayatri every morning, you wouldn't get your coffee. Right? And so, to me, Om Bhagavato Tatravirenmako Devasya. This was the word. What was the truth? And if you don't have any motive at all, and you know, motivelessly repeating a mantra, and mechanically repeating a mantra, if you go on repeating the mantra mechanically, and if you happen to pass away during the repetition of the mantra, you will become a tape recorder.
So that's the word Baba, the feeling.
Right. You even have Baba. But apart from the Baba, I must know the meaning. That japastad artha bhavanam. Artha. What is the meaning? What does it denote? If this is a word, what is the reality? What is the truth? This is a mantra. What is the truth? Bhava is the attitude. Bhava is the feeling that you have. That's very good. Om Namah Shivaya. When you sing Om Namah Shivaya, you feel that Shiva himself is sitting in you or in front of you listening to it. That's the attitude, bhava. That's good. In addition to that, one must also trace, seek to find the meaning, the truth. The truth, meaning in, not in the sense of translation, but meaning in the sense of the reality, the substance.
Is it not possible that if one was repeating a mantra very mechanically, that the grace of God might interfere?
Grace of God might interfere even if I don't repeat it. Once you enter into that grace, that's the reason why the concept of grace, I think, it may be a good thing to understand. When do we when do we lean on this concept of grace, and when it can be slippery? Concept of grace, as also karma, as also what is called God's will, all these have a limited application. Why do I say application? Because you do not know really what grace is. Accept it honestly. I do not know what grace is. I do not know what God's will is. I do not know what my karma is.